Mustard, taking advantage of each victory to expand the possibilities of new and more successful activities. The first concept underlying this plan is that, especially in mass teaching, groups of devoted teachers should focus their attention, their thoughts, their prayers, and their efforts and energies on a specific population: the inhabitants of a small area, the members of a tribe, a certain age group in a school, in a university, or in any part of a city or a town. The second concept is that teaching and consolidation of this population can be looked upon as a process in which all its members are urged and given all the possible help to walk the spiritual path, a path that takes us closer and closer to Baha'u'llah. The third concept is that there is no reason to expect that every member of this population will move along this path at the same pace. The natural process leads to a few who move forward quickly and soon become shining stars in the heaven of the service to the cause. Others lag behind, and many take the first step quickly but then move at a very slow pace, and yet others stand for a long time hesitating to even take the first step. The group of teachers who have focused their attention on this population, rather than insisting on deepening everyone at the same level, at the same time, and thus becoming overwhelmed with anxiety, are to be concerned with the dynamics of this spiritual movement of the whole population, and try to assure the existence of different programs of proclamation, teaching, and deepening that would help each one of them walk this path at their own pace. The fourth concept is that within the present structure of local spiritual assemblies and regional and national committees, schemes must be devised to organize the believers for teaching and to mobilize the teachers. One such scheme, and only one, is to ask the group of teachers who have decided to focus their energies on a specific population to form a more or less permanent expansion consolidation team. Permanent in the sense that they are concerned with long-term processes and not a single teaching project of a short duration. These expansion consolidation teams are not, of course, administrative structures. They do not have coordinators or secretaries, for example, but are groups of friends who are to help each other and to consult with each other and to learn with each other as to how bring a whole population into the faith. The fifth concept is that the members of the team should not consider themselves as outsiders to the population they have chosen to teach. They should understand that their own spiritual growth is intimately connected with the spiritual growth of the population and to the service they render them. Thus, the first set of goals that the team adopts are related to the spiritual growth of its own members. The team, with the help of the institutions of the faith, establishes a deepening program for itself However, it is careful that this deepening will lead to action and will not be the kind of study that finally becomes an end in itself. In fact, the themes of the deepening are closely related to the efforts that the team is making to teach, to expand, and to consolidate. The team is to try to understand as deeply as possible the population it has chosen to join, and to discover those actions and programs that will lead to the spiritual advancement of that population. It is to study the creative world constantly and find ways that would make it possible for every member of the population to receive the creative word according to his or her capacities, be it a sentence at a time or intensive courses of a study for some others. The sixth concept is that the weight of the responsibility for winning the goals given to us by the Universal House of Justice should be on the shoulders of the individual believer. The kind of situation in which believers are accustomed to waiting to be pushed by the institutions to carry out the specific tasks is not conducive to accelerated progress of growth. However, much more energy and enthusiasm is generated when individuals are not simply told to choose and carry out their own plan, but when groups of believers are invited and taught to consult with each other, to analyze their plans, and to choose that portion of the goals of the plan that they could win within the population they have chosen to serve. Examples of goals adopted by a team for a specific period of time would be to bring in so many new believers, to form so many new local assemblies, to establish so many classes for the children, to establish a certain number of deepening classes, to proclaim the faith to certain segment of the population they have chosen, and many other goals according to the diversity of the needs and opportunities of the moment. The seventh concept is that the administrative institutions would have to grow rapidly in response to the opportunities that the actions of a large number of individuals and teams among very diverse populations would open to the faith. Thus, the concept of planning the details of the actions of others would have to be abandoned, and assemblies and communities would have to respond to the initiative that is coming from groups of individual believers. They would have to dedicate themselves to the true service of the friends, facilitating the achievement of goals each team has set for itself, consulting with them on the nature of those goals, helping them with material resources whenever is necessary, bringing to them the experiences of others' teams and individuals, and assuring that the very different activities of different teams sum up to win the totality of the goals of the plan for the country. The eighth concept is that the number of teachers participating in the expansion consolidation teams should grow proportionally as the number of Baha'is within the selected population increases. Thus, the dynamics of teaching should be such that at the same time that large numbers of people are brought into the faith, especially in receptive populations, special attention is given to the ones who show more interest, who are guided to perform acts of service, which may begin with a simple sharing of a prayer or a passage with other new believers, but should soon lead to full participation in the activities of the expansion consolidation team. It may even be envisaged that as living cells grow and divide, these teams, after reaching a certain size, would divide in two, each concentrating on some segment of the same population or taking on a new population. On the basis of these concepts, which are really simple, the National Baha'i Community of Canada has already begun an ambitious national teaching program, which only in its first 6 to 7 months has led to the formation of more than 200 teams and a noticeable, although not very large, increase in the number of believers per month as compared to the previous years. However, what has been occurring in certain parts of Canada or other countries, and I only use that as an example to clarify the concepts of the kind of planning that we have to do, is only a prelude to the unimaginable possibilities of growth that are open to every country. Only if the Baha'is would accept the challenges that mass teaching offers and would not tend to run away from them. Unfortunately, or fortunately, for mass teaching to occur in a given country and for the goal of entry by troops to be achieved in a given country, and for the goal of entry by troops to be achieved, it doesn't seem to be sufficient that small numbers of teachers dedicate themselves to the teaching activities. Even though everyone does not have to participate physically in the activities, the moral support, the enthusiasm, the happiness of the entire community, if not on the national level, at least on the level of a region, is absolutely necessary. We stand at a time of the history where most receptive people to the faith seem to be the most oppressed populations of the earth. We cannot justify telling these people, as unfortunately we seem to be doing in many parts, that we will not give them the faith until other, less receptive souls are ready to accept the faith. The goal of teaching all strata of society is a positive statement. It means teaching all strata of society. It means accelerating teaching within all groups. It does not mean to stop or to make slower the coming into the faith of those who come by the thousands in order for others to come. It means also to accelerate the other ones that are coming in one and tens, but it means also to accelerate the teaching among the receptive soul. It means teaching all strata of society. Now, it is a well-proven fact that as receptive at thousands of souls belonging to the vast majority of human beings are to the faith. Centuries of suffering has made them too sensitive to not being accepted by others. They will not grow within the faith if Baha'i communities do not welcome them with open arms, with joy, and without prejudice. They will not grow within the Baha'i community if they are not treated as equals, and if they are looked upon as hundreds of uneducated souls that have to be consolidated at great expense and sacrifice of others. A few years have passed since the great impetus that had been achieved in mass teaching in many countries was lost. It would be difficult to uphold now, as we look back, than that by neglecting mass teaching, these national communities have gained a great deal, and that now other avenues of growth have been established. Surely by continuing to teach the receptive souls, by systematizing, by consulting, by learning together, those who did not stop are learning how to establish the twin processes of expansion and consolidation that should go always hand in hand. Now, a few years later, we are even further into the dark heart of the age of transition. The processes of disintegration of the human society have accelerated. The gloom of despair has spread wider and deeper all throughout the world, affecting most of all those same receptive souls who would accept their Redeemer, Baha'u'llah, only if the Baha'is would joyfully give them the message. What will history tell about us? What will the future historians write about the last two decades of this, the century of light? May I suggest that it is all within our grasp to assure that these decades will be remembered in most glorious terms, and that our generation will be remembered as the one that ushered humanity into that long-awaited stage of entry by troops and mass conversion. All we have to do is to accept that the growth of the faith need not be controlled and tightly administered according to the limited capabilities and the visions of ourselves, mere human beings. But a gigantic movement motivated and impelled by the powerful spiritual forces that have been liberated by Baha'u'llah is set in motion. Let us always remember these words of the Guardian as he described the nature of these unimaginable and powerful forces. A tempest, he said, a tempest unprecedented in its violence, unpredictable in its course, catastrophic in its immediate effects, unimaginably glorious in its ultimate consequences, is at present sweeping the face of the earth. its driving power is remorselessly gaining in range and momentum.